Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. That is the rather abrupt ending to some different intro music. We're doing a different intro because this is a special edition of Don't Let It Go Unheard. Typically, we talk about a wide range of topics, news, politics, culture, all from the perspective of Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism. And as we always talk about on our show, Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism is the one that uniquely upholds the right to the pursuit of your own happiness. And the reason we're here this evening is because the right to the pursuit of happiness is massively under attack. It was attacked viciously this morning in Paris, France. The offices of the French satirical magazine Charlie Hebdo, if you're just pronouncing it in the English way, and Charlie Hebdo if you're the French, which is really a bad pronunciation. This is what we all woke up to this morning. 12 people killed, and I think at least 4 more were seriously injured. And from what I understand, the most recent news out of France is that of the 3 suspected gunmen, one of them has surrendered himself, the youngest one. But I don't know any details about that yet. I was just seeing that on Twitter recently, and I retweeted a link from France 24 or some news source. And when I went to that link, there was just a general video commenting on the event of the day without telling me any more specifics about that most recent news, except for that one of the suspected gunmen has surrendered himself to police reportedly, and it was the youngest one. So that's what we're dealing with. What we want to talk about this evening, I mean, first of all, the main purpose for this show is to do what Yaron Brook was talking about as being necessary earlier today on his debut show. He didn't intend to debut his Blog Talk Radio show today, but he felt that he had to given the events of the day, and I was very glad that he did. But what he said is necessary for us to do right now is to all speak up in unison in support of the victims of this horrible, vicious attack on free speech. Earlier today, I was talking to Yaron. I was actually feeding my dogs this morning and got a call and was talking to him. And I asked him, I said, is this the most vicious attack on free speech ever? And he spoke about the Nazi book burnings. And yes, that wiped out a tremendous amount of speech. But in terms of violently going after and killing people directly for speech that they made. I mean, Galileo was under house arrest, and this was something that Yaron was talking about earlier, but coming in and viciously mowing down with automatic weapons people because they drew cartoons and they made fun of a prophet, I mean, I'm just not aware of such a massive attack. I'm really impressed with the French people again. Those people who do know this show, who are regular listeners to this show, know that I have been pleasantly surprised by the French a lot recently, and a couple of things have to do with Islam. But tonight, as I understand it, tens of thousands of French gathered in Paris to show that they were in unison, that they were showing their support for Charlie Hebdo. I believe I saw a sign being held up by some of them. We are not afraid. And they all said, Je suis Charlie. And in fact, I just changed my Facebook profile picture to a little Je Suis Charlie graphic that's going around there. So feel free to go grab my profile pic off Facebook and make it your own and just put it out there. The whole point is to show support, to show that we will keep speaking our mind in the face of these threats. Why? So that we keep having the freedom to speak our mind. And another thing that Yaron mentioned earlier, which is the most horrible thing about this, is that our governments are not doing their proper job of defending us. And secondarily, almost as sad as the government not defending us in our rights to free speech, is the news media. The news media has had just pitiful coverage of this, very disappointing coverage. ABC, for example, when they wanted to say in the headline that it was a terrorist attack, they put terrorist in quotes as if, I don't know, maybe it's not a real terrorist attack, that the only way that they feel competent to report it as a terrorist attack is if it comes out of somebody else's mouth. I think that's really, really pathetic. Just kind of coincidentally, and this is not at all on purpose, you know I run the Ayn Rand bot on Twitter, by the way, so if you don't follow the Ayn Rand bot on Twitter, go ahead and go over and follow it and retweet it. There's a lot of excellent quotations from Ayn Rand. She said so many awesome things in 140 or fewer characters. It is amazing. Hundreds and hundreds of quotations I have in a database for the Ayn Rand bot. But today was a particularly appropriate quotation. It's this. She said, "To discuss evil in a manner implying neutrality is to sanction it." To discuss evil in a manner implying neutrality is to sanction it. So basically what I've been doing on my social media accounts, whether you follow me on Facebook, whether you follow the Don't Let It Go Unheard page on Facebook, you can follow me, Amy Peacock, on Twitter, is I have been retweeting, sending, sharing anything out there that just goes back in the face of these vicious supposed advocates for a religion of peace, anything that's going to offend them and anything that supposedly caused them to murder people, we need to keep putting it out there. I was listening to Tammy Bruce's show of today. I was actually listening to the encore a little bit earlier. And the thing that she said, which is so true, is that Charlie Hebdo, the attack on that magazine, proved the value of what they were doing, that it needed to be done. The mere fact that they were attacked showed that it needed to be done. And let's just go ahead and keep spreading whatever our opinion is or whatever artistic whims we have that we think we want. Not whims. I mean, we're objectivists. I don't want to put a whim out there. But anything that you have a conviction about needs to be said out there. You should feel free to say it. And you should say it and keep saying it. And hopefully we're going to come to the day where there will not be an attack on people, or that if there is an attempted attack, we have our governments protecting us. Or if for some reason there is an attack that succeeds, we have a news media that covers it honestly and forthrightly and properly. So, like I said, go ahead and check out all these different sources. Bosch gave me article after article after article today. Robert Spencer over at Jihad Watch has apparently been doing a yeoman's work just covering this particular story today. But I'm going to go ahead and check in over here at the chat room. God, we've got a lot of our normal listeners, so I thank you all for joining us in this little impromptu show this evening. Now, who we have? We've got Mluckin, who I don't think I've seen before. M. Mluckin before. Hello. Welcome. Freedom Breeze. John Roberts is some of Trevor is the usual suspects. Matt, I saw you earlier today at your own show. Hooray. Bonus miles and objective coffee. I don't know. Maybe I missed something. I just got cartoonist Bosch Faustin, who should be the man of the hour. He just walked in right now this second. Welcome, Bosch.
I was fighting off some jihadists.
Yeah.
Sorry. I had to take them out.
And that's how you would be saying that, too. That's exactly how you would be saying such a thing, right?
Yeah. Hello, everyone.
I basically gave them the rundown, Bosch, of why we were here. We're here to show solidarity with Charlie Hebdo.
No doubt about it.
Hebdo.
They stood up against evil, and the scum came for them.
You've got an excellent cartoon, a likeness of the editor.
Yep.
Of Charlie. Was that his name, Charlie Hebdo?
No. That was just, I don't know what it was based on. It was some
the
name
character
that
they had probably in
maybe
some of their
probably.
Cartoons. Yeah.
And my post, my blog was called, "I Would Rather Die Standing Than Live on My Knees." And that quote is attributed to, I don't know, I guess you pronounce this, Stéphane Charbonnier.
Stéphane Charbonnier.
Yeah.
Charbonnier?
I guess Stéphane Charbonnier.
Yeah.
He was a publisher of Charlie Hebdo magazine, and he died standing up to Islam, standing up to evil. They got firebombed, if you remember. Their offices were firebombed 3 years ago, and I did a post for them. I drew another Muhammad Unmasked, which I drew actually for a Hitler speech. And I've been in support of them. And people say, well, they do this. I don't give a damn what they do. They stood up to evil again and again and again and did what a lot of people don't do. And this is why we look at that. These guys were heroic. And
Jonathan Honig here is in the chat room. Welcome, Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan.
We're always glad to see you. He says, as I understand it, all major American cable news networks have specifically not shown the cartoons surrender. Yeah, I retweeted out on Twitter someone's challenge to all of the major news networks, including, very disappointingly, Fox News.
Yeah.
Challenge them to actually publish, show some of the cartoons that were the cause.
By the way,
of
I challenged
attack.
the vice president of publishing, Tom Brevoort, at Marvel, to say something about it, because Marvel, DC, they're publishing Muslim superhero comics. They're not publishing anything against jihad, zero. Just to challenge him. And I realized that he blocked me, and I can't read anything of his, but still someone was able to get to him, through my stuff. And then he says, oh, right, this is the racist dude. F him and F you too, to the guy who was trying to. So this is the vice president of publishing at Marvel. Just for record, this is the nature of the person. You went from Stan Lee and Jack Kirby to this piece of crap, like going from George Washington to Barack Obama. That's where we are today.
I mean, basically, if you criticize Islam today, you are a racist.
A racist. Yeah. I come from, I have a Muslim background, red hair, light skin. Is that...
Yeah.
I guess, they see Muslims as brown.
Yeah. So
that's pretty racist also.
This is an error on one end of the spectrum, where every time you criticize Islam, and Islam is damn worthy of criticism, let me just tell you that. If you just go to Blog Talk Radio and you search in their little search bar for Robert Spencer, one of the things that should come up is my one-hour interview with Robert Spencer, who is the curator over at Jihad Watch, and he's a curator, he's the writer, he's the editor.
He's the guy. He's the guy. Yeah, Bobby Spencer, that's what I call him.
He is awesome. And a few years ago, I sponsored through my blog, we did this Quran reading group. We did it on GoToMeeting. We met every week, and we went through the Quran. And the Quran is not that hard to read. It is just boring and offensive and stupid. But you can read it. You can read that thing cover to cover, and then you'll be informed. And we did it also with the help of the kind of reading guide, the notes are put online for free by Robert Spencer.
Yes.
Wonderful. So we all went through those and through the Quran. And then after we were done, we had a one-hour session with Robert Spencer, where I took a whole bunch of questions from the group who had read and everything. And also, I think maybe we had a few impromptu questions as well, but we kept him going for a whole hour. And so if you want to hear kind of the result of a group of motivated, intelligent people reading the Quran and then questioning an expert, Robert Spencer, on it, find that episode at Blog Talk Radio. It's from a few years ago. I think it's 2011.
Yeah. And it was very good. And you asked him also a very potent question that he never heard before. And he answered it on there. So check out what it is. It's definitely worth listening to. It's very good.
I'm not going to say what the question is here.
Yeah.
That would be a spoiler.
Yeah. I mean, people should really go and listen to this.
I think so.
It's excellent. It's a thorough interview.
So the one error on the one hand is to say, if you criticize Islam, you're a racist.
Yeah.
Then on the other hand, and this is something that I got today, you know, over my blog at don'tletitgo.com, you can leave comments on all the shows that I do here at Blog Talk Radio. And in fact, I have a placeholder post over at that blog for tonight's show, not because there's any program notes there, because I haven't had time to do any program notes. I'm really sorry because I had a lot of prior commitments today. But over there is a placeholder post, and you can leave comments on tonight's show over there. It is moderated, so anybody who wants to come and leave something offensive, it's not necessarily going to go up. Today, all I had earlier was the post from last week's show, and last week's show was a show in which I worked as hard as possible, given what was already a pretty tough context for all of us going into 2015. I worked as hard as possible to say, okay, look, we all need a compelling vision of the future to work towards, right? And how can we frame that given the context in which we all, you know, people who are listening to this show right now, all probably pretty much think that we are headed in the wrong direction. We're headed in the wrong direction. So where does the compelling vision for a better future come from? And I argued it comes from the changes that are happening in the culture. And in a couple of minutes, I'll tell you one more positive change that I witnessed just last night and had me in a great mood last night when I went to bed. And then when I woke up this morning, it was ruined by this news. But here's what happened at the blog. I'm sorry, I'm so long-winded right now. But at the blog, somebody comes to the post from last week, which is and the title of last week's show was "What is your vision for 2015?" And again, the show was addressing the problem of creating a vision of a better future that you're working towards in today's irrational world where the government is horrible, etc. So some guy comes to the blog. And this is what he wants to put on as a comment about the vision for the better future. It is to deport all Muslims. That's the answer. We'll just round them all up. All those people who call themselves Muslim, we'll just round them up and deport them. Just deport their asses right out of this country.
Yeah
that'll
that
work.
Is the attitude. And I keep hearing it also. People, you know, they think I'm on board with that. I'm not on board with that at all. It's absolute crap. Most Muslims are not Muslim. They don't practice. They don't give a crap about Islam and the way they live their lives. So long as they don't mess with us in any way, that's it. Keep to yourself. A lot of them don't even go to mosque. A lot of them don't. So I just, you know, this idea that every Muslim is you know, part of organized Islam, that's just not the case. That's why I refer to it as organized Islam sometimes, because that's the real, we're talking about mosque, we're talking about the care, all the other groups. Imams, bloggers, Muslim bloggers who really want to push the issue. It's an organized effort to push Islam. Anyone who's really not involved in any Muslim, it's not really Muslim. Good for us, good for them. Keep to yourselves. Don't push Islam on us, and we'll get along fine to an extent. I have family like that who don't care about Islam. They pretend they do, but they don't in the way they live their lives. They're still friends with me. I mean, imagine that. What kind of Muslims are these? Non-Muslim Muslims. So that's just, you know, that attitude is pathetic, and it's just unthinking, as if that will take care of the problem. It won't. You got to go out there, put down the mad dogs in charge of all these threats, in charge of the attacks. I mean, there's this group right here. They claim to be part of Al-Qaeda in
Yemen.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting to hear more details because I want to know where the French government dropped the ball. So, for example, in the recent...
The cops knew those guys. They knew about these guys. They knew they were up to no good.
In the recent Sydney siege...
They also knew.
They also knew. That guy had a record. He was a proponent of...
They're hoping they don't do anything to citizens. Like, I hope they don't kill them. But I can't do anything in the meantime. Yes, you can. This guy's threatening. This guy's speaking out against the country fundamentally in a way where he wants to wage war against it, you got to kick him out or throw him in jail. Because this is, you know, there's free speech and then there's incitement to violence.
Right.
If you call for the death of individuals, specific individuals especially, you really lost. I mean, you got to be rounded up. A lot of Muslims don't do that.
Well, and then there's other things. I mean, I am perfectly in favor of any person who comes from certain countries or who is Muslim who wants to immigrate to this country would be subjected to extra scrutiny.
No doubt about it.
And even if you're erring on the side
of... If you identify yourself as Muslim, you have told us to some extent that you might be up to no good. It's up to you to prove different, especially during a time of war. We are at war right now. That was an act of war in France. They tried to downplay the Obama administration. It's violence. No, this is war. And that's why, you know, Muslims have to be scrutinized far more than anyone today. Despite the fact that, you know, a lot of Muslims aren't up to no good. We don't know that. We don't know that. That's up to them to prove to us. You know, in World War II, Japanese Americans got together and they fought for the country. They proved it through and through again and again and again that they were American first and foremost. Muslims haven't done that. You know, the one real problem I have with my cousins is the fact that they don't want to hear anything about jihad. They have nothing to say against it. That's the one thing I do not like at all.
Now, there have been some prominent Muslims and Muslim organizations.
Sisi from Egypt, as an individual, as a leader, is saying things that no Muslim leader.
What has he said about this, though?
This, I don't know yet.
You don't know?
I don't know yet.
Can you try to find it?
I can try.
He said
we need a religious revolution.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unheard of. This is a guy that Obama did not want in power. He wanted the Muslim Brotherhood in power. This guy hates the Muslim Brotherhood. This guy must be like Ataturk. He must be a closet atheist who really hates the religion and wants to lift up his people, the Egyptians, as far as he's concerned.
Right.
He's probably a nationalist in that sense. But unlike Ataturk, I hope he doesn't try to force the issue. Ataturk tried to westernize him through force. You must wear hats. You must not wear this. You must wear dresses. You know, you can't do that. But Sisi is pretty impressive from what I see so far. The current leader of Egypt. Very, very impressive.
Jonathan Honig over here in the chat room at Blog Talk Radio is bringing up a quotation from former White House Press Secretary Jay Carney.
Yes.
And it is one that I shared over on the Don't Let It Go Unheard page on Facebook. So let me just pull
Yaron
that
said something
up
today.
Real quick.
By the way, Yaron Brooks said something on the show today that we have said before in a sense where it doesn't matter what they think about what anyone says, George Bush, Obama, it doesn't matter. That's not their right. They are here to protect us, period.
Right.
We have the freedom to say whatever we want, whether they like it or not.
And the problem is when you have somebody in their position saying, well, you got to question the judgment of these people, which is what they did, this gives sanction to murderers like those who attacked the offices of Charlie Hebdo today.
CC condemned the attack. To what extent, I don't know, but he condemned it.
Okay. I would love to hear his exact language. Yeah, so this is the quotation from Jay Carney. Thanks for Jonathan for reminding me of it. He says, quote, "We are aware that a French magazine published cartoons featuring a figure resembling the Prophet Muhammad." I'm surprised you didn't stop and say peace be upon him, right?
right.
And obviously we have questions.
A guy from the BBC, by the way, did that. Peace be upon him after he said the Prophet Muhammad.
Today?
No, this is a few years after 9/11.
They got to stop that crap. And obviously we have questions about the judgment of publishing something like this, Carney told reporters. Carney stated that the images would be, quote, deeply offensive to many and have the potential to be inflammatory.
Now, hold on a second.
End quote.
Someone said that I forgot who said it, but that their cartoons provoked those Muslims to do what they did. You can't provoke anyone to murder. You can't provoke anyone to mass murder. You can piss off people. I get pissed off at certain things. To act on it is absolutely 100% you. This idea, and it's being spread right now that, well, they had, you know, they pushed it. They pushed it. They didn't push it. They did what any civilized individuals can do. Express themselves, tell the truth, mock whatever they want, and live to tell about it. You know, unless the savages are unleashed by our government, because our government has basically let our Western governments at large have told the enemy, it's open season, guys. Don't kill them all, but you could take a few here and there, and we can live with it.
Right, and moreover, one thing that Yaron pointed out earlier, if you reminded everyone of this, was that when we had the pastor in Florida was going to burn the Quran, or he did burn the Quran, he You know how Obama, he always complains that he doesn't have enough power.
He said,
oh,
"Well,
I'm not
like
Kim
unfortunately
Jong-un.
We don't unfortunately we don't have you know we don't have laws which meaning unfortunately we don't have laws to stop this guy cold.
Right.
Unfortunately, we can't throw him in the slammer for expressing himself. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's Obama for you.
I mean, you can bet
frustrated
you
dictator.
Can bet he fully supported the people who wanted to burn the American flag.
No, always has.
But." Burn a Quran?
That is
unacceptable. Ooh, I wish we had a law that we could stop them from doing.
And this idea that burning a Quran can make a Muslim kill you. I mean, what does it say about the Muslim?
Oh, yeah.
And what does it say about people that think that about Muslims, that they think nothing of Muslims? So I'm just went zap.
Do you see a zap over here?
Yeah, it was all dark letters.
Oh,
now it's like,
maybe our chat room needs to be refreshed over here at Blog Talk Radio. Let's check it out. I think we can do that.
By the way, the Financial Times calls for Sharia self-censorship. This is according to Jihad Watch. Some common sense will be useful in a publication such as Charlie Hebdo. Common sense meaning censor yourself, okay? So you don't get killed and you don't get us killed.
Well, and that's what these guys do, right? Because this is what he goes on to say. He says...
Who?
This is Carney. He says, we don't question the right of something like this to be published. We just question the judgment behind the decision
and
Yaron says
something
to publish it.
Great today. He says, look, government is force. They have a gun. Government is a gun. When you say, I don't really like what you said, you don't have, you're not just a guy off the street. You're the government pointing a gun at you and telling you, I don't really like what you're saying.
Well,
so a lot of people will be cowed by that.
That's true, but not necessarily that in this context. What they're saying is, well, you know, normally we protect your rights, but if we think you're showing bad judgment, and then, I mean, that's inflammatory, so really it just kind of provoked those guys to attack you, we're just not going to come after you that much. And as some of the listeners pointed out earlier, I mean, the other thing that this administration has done is actually put a guy in jail for putting a video critical of Islam on YouTube. What I want to do is I want to play for you just a little clip of Obama that I think serves very well to give sanction to the people who murdered the staff at Charlie Hebdo. Listen to this little clip, and I'm not sure exactly from when it is. Maybe you can tell me what year this is from. This is from YouTube. Uh-oh. It's not working. Why is it not working?
A couple of years ago.
It's a couple of years ago?
What are you saying?
I have no volume.
We must not.
I'm sorry. I'm having a little technical difficulty. I will have it fixed in.
By the way, MSNBC said we have to respect Islam. We have to respect evil is what they're saying.
Yeah. Here we go.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
By the way, I added that
so
quote.
So basically, that's it. I mean, yeah. they slander the prophet of Islam. The future must
future
not belong to them.
The
so,
future
I mean,
is yours, murderers when, of Charlie Hebdo's
yeah.
staff. The future
no,
is yours.
When I mean, Charlie Hebdo's staff, the future must not belong to them,
no.
according to Barack
belongs
Obama.
With the murderers.
So basically, he's saying that those people shouldn't live in the future. This was a few years ago. Boy, they lived longer than Obama thought they should have lived, probably.
That's right.
Yeah? Because they were part of the future for a while. He probably was very offended by that.
The only person who can say that is a Muslim. I'm not saying Obama's a Muslim. I don't think he is. I think he jettisoned Islam because it didn't give him what he needed. He wanted power. It wouldn't give him any power. So, therefore, he has a practical thing. Well, this is crap. But I will still, you know, love it to death and communism. But I'll be a fusion of both and maybe be a full-on nihilist. Of course, doesn't think that consciously. But he's never said a bad word about Islam, ever. He talks about fundamentally transforming us, never fundamentally transforming Islam like Sisi's talking about.
Right.
Sisi's talking about Islam, saying it needs fundamental transformation.
Well, and we were just talking about this the other day, Basha. But, and I was
but
saying,
one thing,
Sisi, here's the first guy. Here's the
good
first guy,
guy
with
but you
power,
can't you
right?
can't remake Islam. It's evil to the core. You can't do it.
Well,
the people outside
that,
of it can
that,
can
that
deny.
That was true of the other religions too.
Yeah, but this one in particular, because Muhammad, you know,
right,
acted.
Right.
He was a jihadist
right.
for 13 years.
But
of
my,
his.
But my point is, he is the first major political
Absolutely
figure
is.
With power to talk this way. As
it's
well,
impressive.
Now, well, you said also, right, in Turkey, Ataturk.
Ataturk, but this is you know a century
yeah,
ago.
Yeah.
That's long gone.
I know.
Yeah.
So he's the first since Ataturk, maybe.
As far as I know, yes. Speaking this way, absolutely.
Right.
Ataturk said something, though. I think Ataturk, whether he claimed to be Muslim or not, he said, I want to take all the religions and put them at the bottom of the ocean.
Just one more time. This guy is supposedly the most powerful man in the world speaking to the United Nations. So imagine you are people who are contemplating murdering the guys at Charlie Hebdo.
And then
you listen to this.
The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam.
No, so why, when they went there, I mean, they could have said, you know, yeah, we're you know, avenging
the future belongs
Muhammad.
To us, yeah.
No, but we're avenging Muhammad, and we're just doing what Obama,
absolutely.
You know.
The future does not
right?
belong to you guys. It belongs to us.
Yeah, it belongs.
Okay?
Right.
The President of the United States of America, the most powerful man on earth, gave us a green light. Green light meaning Muhammad's favorite color, green, the color of Islam.
Right. But then he goes on and he tries to talk about other stuff.
But to be credible, those who condemn that slander must also condemn the hate we see in the images of Jesus Christ that are desecrated.
Shut up.
Or churches that are destroyed.
He doesn't believe that crap.
Or the Holocaust that is denied.
Oh, please. Holocaust that is denied? That's Muslims are taught that the Holocaust did not happen.
Well, but this is
they're
the thing.
Raised.
He's completely wrong across the board.
Think about
all
it also. That's
way.
Always an afterthought. He's like, okay, I can't say only that. I got to say this to appease
the
others.
But he's wrong all the way across the board. Because we have to, in the name of free speech, allow all of those things.
Of course that. But what I'm saying is from his perspective. Look, when it comes to him,
right.
if he says it, what I'm saying is, yes, but he's saying also at the same time, well, I can't get away with just saying that. I got to say, but you can't say that either. That's it. He also had another quote, 2009, when he spoke in Egypt with a little shadow of a mustache. Just for the record, I noticed it at the time. If you want to check out the pictures from that speech, he had a shadow of a mustache to show a little facial hair, you know, to his fellow, you know, whatever. And the Muslim Brotherhood was there in the front row, and he said, I consider it part of my responsibility as President of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear. Has he ever said about America?
No.
Ever? About the country he leads?
No. No. Now, Matt makes a good point. Which of those statements sounded genuine? The only one that he sounded really earnest about was the first.
And you usually say the most urgent one first. Yeah. And then the afterthought is, whatever, I got to pee some guys, you know, because they'll call me on it if I don't.
But the point is that all of it was wrong. And I learned an interesting thing from Yaron earlier. He had said that in Germany, they have made denying the Holocaust a crime.
Yes. You know, Germany, they're trying to do penance so dangerously, so self-destructively that they had an open Muslim terrorist group operating in Germany a little pre-9/11, maybe a year or two before 9/11. After 9/11, I believe they had clamped down. But that's how bad they are. That's how self-destructively, you know, guilty they feel about the Holocaust.
Right.
That they have to say, well, we're not worth protecting at all.
But Germany is the home of one of the few publications that today really took a stand.
Muhammad cartoon after Muhammad cartoon after Muhammad cartoon in papers, an abundance of papers. That's powerful. That's important. Every civilized country was to do that. As Yaron said, they can't come after us all. It's a show of support for civilization. You have no shot at this. And then if our leaders start seeing that kind of pressure, like, I mean, today, the French stood up and said, this is intolerable, this is unacceptable. How many were in that?
Tens of thousands.
I mean, tens of thousands saying, no, no way. This is not going to be the norm. We're going to stop you. And, of course, the leaders, you know, a piece of crap president of theirs. At least he called a terrorist attack. At least he did that.
As I understand it, it was Time magazine that had the excellent photo coverage of the demonstrations in Paris. Latest headline I see over there right now is that police ID the Paris gunman. Late Wednesday, they identified three suspects in the deadly terror attack. But they actually don't say anything here about the fact that they've taken one of them into custody. Let me see if I can find.
By the way, you know the old this has
the
not
French story.
This has nothing to do with Islam crap. Some German pulled it today, just for the record. So I wrote, today's attack has nothing to do with Islam. I attribute it to politicians who have nothing to do with reality.
Okay, here is the latest. An 18-year-old who was implicated alongside two brothers in the bloody attack against satirical weekly Charlie Hebdo in Paris on Wednesday has surrendered to police, according to a source close to the case. Hamid Murad handed himself into police on Wednesday at 11 p.m. their time after seeing his name circulating on social media. He's been arrested, taken into custody, another source confirmed. Meanwhile, the French police published photos, of the remaining suspects as they launched an appeal to the public for information. Paris police said arrest warrants had been issued for Sharif Kouachi, 34, and his 34-year-old brother, Saeed, who were, quote, likely armed and dangerous, you think? And in northeastern France, a raid by an anti-terrorist squad continued into the early hours of Thursday morning as part of the hunt for the gunmen. Oh, boy, I hope they track them down and do something horrible to them. Yeah. Local television amateur images showed black-clad sharpshooters from the elite police unit in streets of Reims in France's Champagne region. Several thousand police were deployed to find the gunmen, and parts of the French capital were in lockdown as the killers remain on the loose. Either the suspects will be able to escape or, quote, there will be a showdown, a member of a police unit deployed in Reims reportedly told the AFP. Journalists were urged to, quote, remain vigilant. And then they give you a key to the different points in the attack. 12 people were killed. 11 were injured before these three escaped in a car. Some of France's most prominent cartoonists among the dead, including the director Stéphane Charbonnier, known as Charb. Seven other journalists were killed, along with two police officers, a guest at the Charlie Hebdo offices, and the building's receptionist also killed. The gunmen reportedly, they say, shouted Allahu Akbar during their deadly rampage. I hate when they always say, oh, well, allegedly they said
that. Yeah, of course they said it.
Like 50 people heard it, but no, we can't really say that they said it.
Allah's greatest.
They've been a target of Islamist extremists. You know, they have to say Islamist and extremist. Ever since it published cartoons of Muhammad, Islam's holiest figure.
Sorry, which quote unquote Islamist extremist calls himself Islamist extremist? Which on earth? Which one? Not one.
No. Francois Hollande called the slayings, quote, a terrorist attack without a doubt.
At least he said that.
Well, but here's the thing, and I was thinking about this before. I was thinking, oh, yeah, he called it a terrorist attack.
I know. We're so
really
far
cool, right?
Back. I know.
But right. Talk about Islam.
Yes, it's a jihadist attack.
A jihadist attack. How about that?
Yes. So, they would never say that, though.
But you know, we're in this state where we think, oh, well, as long as they don't call it workplace violence, everything is wonderful.
Well, that's part of the deal, why they do what they do. Yeah. That is part of it, to make us feel like, whoa, they said something almost true.
We have a few people who have called us over here at 760-888-5817 sitting on the board. Nobody has pushed the one to say that they actually want to speak with us. But if you would like to, go ahead and hit one, and we will take your call here at Blog Talk Radio. A lot of people here, like I said, here in the chat room. And BBC.com says Rob Abier is also doing a great job. Welcome, Rob. That's great.
By the way, thanks for all the retweets, all the shares, all the likes on Facebook and the traffic in my blog. Every time things go to hell, meaning things go to Islam, I get a ton of traffic. So I appreciate the interaction and the support.
I just think it was cool that you were able to get that cartoon out and support quickly today.
Absolutely.
So, for what it's worth, there were a lot of excellent cartoons expressing sympathy for Charlie Hebdo.
There was one that was
absolutely
brilliant. One, what's his name? I have to get his name. David Pope. Mm-hmm. He had a jihadist with a smoking rifle and a cartoonist on the floor with glasses and a drawing that he made. And the jihadist says, he drew first.
D-R-E-W.
Yes. Yep. He drew first.
Yep.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant and true. And that's how they see it. They create these ideas that if you say something bad, it's like a physical assault on them. Drawing Muhammad. That's how they take it. That's how emotionally deranged they are. That's how they interpret it.
And if we are, you know, no longer have the ability to criticize this horrible body of ideas, that if this body of ideas becomes dominant, that is the end of Western civilization.
It's the end of the world.
Again, I ask you, I urge you, read the Quran. Read the Quran and see what it stands for, and you will see that if Islam and its Sharia and its jihad become predominant in our world, which is what they're trying to do, and they're obviously making some headway in Europe right now, although I'm again, kudos to France for doing the things they've done. I got sidetracked earlier, but I was going to mention some wonderful things that they've done lately, which is the feminist movement. There's a feminist group in France that likes to go out and be either nude or half nude and protest things. And they've gone after the Pope and everything.
The jihadists.
But they went out on the Champs-Élysées in Paris and did a real in-your-face, dressed provocatively. They had masks and they were topless and wearing pink things and stuff. And they were basically saying, F you, ISIS, we are not afraid of you, going down the Champs-Élysées. I mean, this is awesome. Do you see the feminists in the United States doing this?
Absolutely
you do not.
Not.
Okay. And again, those of you who have been listening to my show have been seeing that I have been pleasantly surprised by certain things that the French have done lately. And I even think, well, you know, what are the French doing? They're trying to make me move there or something. But, you know, businessmen took to the streets recently to protest exorbitant tax rates or something like that. Do you see businessmen doing that en masse, like actually mobilizing into the streets to protest? It turns out
we're not used to that yet.
And think about this. I was feeling good for France just, I think, last week when I saw the news that top total confiscatory tax rate of 75% was removed off of the backs of the most productive French people. I was thinking, okay, you know, yes, their cars got destroyed on New Year's, just like happened the year before by the Muslims.
Yep.
But look, this tax burden was relieved, you know, from them. And then I wake up this morning and I see this horrible, horrible thing. I kudos to the French police force that are out there searching for these men. I wish them the very best. And I hope, I mean, really the best situation.
You know where they can hide best? They go to Muslim areas. And cops don't go to Muslim areas.
Well, they will now.
They'll have to, but they got to be, as you say, very careful. Because when they go like this, when they go into a group, they all get in on it. And one thing also, when I say that a lot of Muslims are, you know, into Islam, yes, and that's true. But one thing that really pisses me off is I got a number of those rats coming to me on Twitter. That's not right. That's not right about my Muhammad cartoons, because I posted a number of my Muhammad cartoons today. So I wrote, I said, Muslims, true to form, are running over the victims of today's Islamic massacre in France to tell me how peaceful Islam is. So I told them, you callous Fs. You got human beings mowed down today by their religion, by the true believers in their religion, and they keep coming to me, not saying anything about the victims, but saying, oh, no, that's not true. That's not Islam. That's not Islam.
I think they're out there because they know that people are starting to see that this is not about peace at all.
No.
And they feel on their heels. They have to try to defend it. But, good luck.
By lying. That's what they do.
I mean, what they are counting on is that none of us, none of you listening, will actually read the Quran. Didn't you say
care gives it now. I have a care group in my comic called Your Muslim Friends, and the character calls them YMFers, if you know what I mean. And they give away Qurans. Why do they give away Qurans? Because they know that the infidels won't read them.
Yeah, actually, YMFers is something I came up with.
Well, it's Your Muslim Friends, but you came up with the acronym saying YMFers. Okay.
Yeah,
I think we discussed that before the show, but anyway. I didn't think it was worth knowing again, but anyway. Credit monger. But anyway, what do you call it?
I'm just telling you that I am not.
You know what? Hold on a second. She created Pigman. She drew all my Muhammad cards. What?
No.
Oh, you know all credit. You're for a little.
My only point is that while I usually try to make this a family show, sometimes I come up with something that is not quite, you know, like PG-13 or something. I
loved it because he says, you know, he's talking to the YMFers, the Your Muslim Friends, and they have smiley faces and. I think Amy said, yeah, YMFers. It's hilarious. It's a great line. He'll say it again also in the third issue, which I'm working on, by the way.
Okay.
It's expanded to 54 pages. It's a monster of an issue. It's pig-sized, okay? I'm trying to get it out as soon as I can. Today I got a little sidetracked.
Yeah, I got sidetracked from a number of things that I was trying to do, so.
Damn, it's true. Amy is Pigman's ghost cartoonist. Damn.
Oh, gosh.
Trevor caught it. You guys caught me.
That's why it takes so long, because
that's
like,
right.
I have to draw it, and then you have redraw it.
Plus, you're a non-artist, right? So you know what I mean? It's amazing that you can actually do it. It's funny.
No. I didn't even know you before you created Pigman, so.
No.
Yeah.
I was surprised that you actually wanted to know me after you came across Pigman. I mean,
well, but this is the thing.
No, you were exposed to Pigman, and you still wanted to get to know me? It's like, how is that possible? Yeah. Anyway.
So, let's go back.
I'm joking. You know, as in Pigman, so outrageous. And you know, people usually, when they see that, they want to stay clear from me.
Yeah.
That's my point.
No, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
Okay.
No, but I mean, this is the thing. I mean, a lot of people don't want to. I'm actually going over here on Facebook. I wonder how many people are taking this as their profile picture. Je suis Charlie. Where can we see that? Do you see anybody in our newsfeed taking this up? No, not as their profile picture. I want to see more. I see people liking the profile picture. Okay, that's good. That's awesome. But people should take it up. I mean, we should just all on Facebook have this or something. I mean, some people, for instance, I have one friend on Facebook who took one of the covers of the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Put it
as the profile picture.
Yes.
So I mean, this is all good stuff. This is the stuff.
Oh, I mean, I saw my friend study this all over the place, you know, completely fighting in their own way. That's what we could do. I mean, just
okay, now
share the cartoons, spread.
This is good. This is good from Gutfeld. He is commenting on the New York Times coverage. And the headline of this New York Times story is, Paris attack reflects a, quote, dangerous moment for Europe. And it says, the strike against satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo seems certain to accelerate the growth of anti-Islamic sentiment in Europe.
No,
end quote.
Who has more to do with anti-Islamic sentiment than Muslims?
Right. But think about this. It is not even 24 hours since these men were slaughtered.
Yep.
Men and women, probably. Yes.
Yes.
But their bodies are warm still.
MSNBC is
okay.
Saying we must respect Islam.
And
Howard
here
Dean says,
here's the New York Times having a whole story about, oh, no, anti-Islamic sentiment is going to
grow. How about anti-Western, anti-infidel sentiment that Muslims have been pushing for 1,000 years? How about that one?
How about that?
And also, Muslims have everything to do with the anti-Muslim sentiment that is raging across the whole planet right now. Everything. They're not innocent in this. And I'm talking about even the ones who are not terrorists, who do not go to mosque and all that BS, but the fact is they say nothing. And we also give them a pass. Well, they're afraid. That's not enough. The guy Sisi, I mean, I don't know how he's going to survive. I really don't. He's surrounded around with Muslims.
Well, but I mean, he's surrounded
hopefully
by people who think like him.
But what I'm saying is, it's just one little opening.
Right.
So someone will take.
We do have a call. We're going to go ahead and grab it right here. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hey, Debbie.
So you woke up to this horrible news this morning as well.
Yeah, well, I found out about it when I was at the gym this morning. And going to have to do kind of a hit-and-run call here because it's a work night and I got to go to bed. But
no problem.
But I just wanted to chime in because I'm really glad you guys are doing this show tonight. I was so enraged when I saw this, and I just couldn't believe it when you just a minute ago said that the New York Times is already saying basically, from their perspective, the problem here is that there's going to be more anti-Islamic sentiment. There's not enough anti-Islamic sentiment.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Finally,
it's not like you want to do bad things or deport or whatever to all Muslims.
You have to condemn Islam as evil.
But I'm going to be suspicious of Muslims because there is this ideology that is motivating this.
And we don't know what kind of Muslims they are when we see them.
Yeah, I'm going to keep my distance from Muslims. And
I'm on a mall and you got a woman wrapped up in this thing with not even her eyes showing. I look at that. I mean, first of all, it makes me sick. Second of all, what's she doing? Is she going to do something? I don't know. We don't know. And it's going to happen here. It will happen here, what happens in the Middle East and what happens in Europe. They're going to start blowing up places, pizzerias and whatnot, because our government's allowing them to do it. It's open season on us. I'm sorry, Debbie, go on.
No, yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't trust them either. When I see someone walking around in a burqa or something like that, it gives me the creep.
Absolutely, it's disgusting.
And you know what? I think that it'd be a little bit like someone walking around with a swastika during
absolutely.
World War II.
You know. I gotta say something about that because I did something. Maybe you want to keep talking. I just want to find it because I did something exactly along those lines.
Okay.
I have to show you.
No. Go ahead, Debbie, because I know you've got to get ready and go to work tomorrow. Poor thing. I'm sorry. But yeah, this is why we're not into doing the evening shows, and we're going to switch on Friday.
Well, I am wired. I'm probably not going
to
go to bed
Pacific time.
Late.
Yeah.
I am wired. Mm. Anyways, here's the thing. I said, you know, there's a post that I did. I put, why do we keep looking at you? And I said, maybe because you might as well be wearing a headscarf full of swastikas. And I had this Muslim girl with a headscarf full of swastikas. It looks like...
Yeah, I remember there was some article that a Muslim girl did or something. Why do you keep looking at me?
That's why. Because
weirdly,
you're part of this disgusting religion that's at war with the civilized world. You are part of it, and you're showing us that you're part of that. You're not being, you're being ostentatious about it. In our face, you're telling us, I am part of Osama bin Laden's religion. And you better not look at me the wrong way.
They're sanctioning it. All
yes, the
killing and genocide is happening around the world, and it's all being done in the name of this religion, and they're walking around wearing the
paraphernalia. They are in lockstep, and it's true. They're showing us, I'm part of that religion that's at war with you. And that's, to me, is unacceptable in a civilized country. It is. You cannot walk around with eye slits. We can't even see your eyes. Completely covered in this country.
I mean, one thing that you do, one thing that you do when you enter society with other people is you give up a certain amount of privacy if you want those other people to interact with you and trust you. And they're saying, no, we want to remain covered, and yet you're supposed to welcome us with open arms and trust us and everything else. And that's just not the case. Now, the women who just wear the scarves themselves, they're making a statement that is going to make me feel alienated from them.
Yes.
And, I mean, regardless, maybe they're the nicest people in the world.
But they're saying, I'm part of that religion that's at war with you. That's what they're telling us. And believe me, we are starting to understand that loud and clear to the point where we cannot any longer just look at this and just, keep walking by it. People are being massacred. Today, people went to work today and got massacred for this religion. And they're telling us, hey, I'm part of that religion, and you better not look at me the wrong way.
Let me ask you this question, Debbie and Bosch, too. How about this? Could we say, because I've always said, okay, well, we have reason to restrict immigration with Muslims right now. And is part of that because we have such a deficient society? So, for example, if we had a proper government that made it super clear that they were going to protect our right to free speech no matter what, and we had a media who unashamedly just published all of these cartoons of Muhammad and everything all out there, so it was just proliferated everywhere because we had a lot of people who actually wanted to live human lives, and they knew that they needed to criticize this religion in order to do so. If we had that kind of society, couldn't we just let in whatever Muslim there was, and those people would feel shamed and not ever act on their religion, or maybe they would consider abandoning their religion?
Some would.
That we would have a lot less danger, even if we let everybody in.
Some would. I mean, look, sorry, one thing.
I mean, we'd still screen for criminal background or whatever, but we wouldn't have to be so worried about it.
We condemn Islam,
if everybody spoke
as evil it is, again and again and again and again, and every major voice, every radio, there are some Muslims who will be cowed by that because they're like, I don't want to be associated with something that's that disgusting. I don't even know my own religion. I'm embarrassed by it. Some of them will absolutely pull back and maybe, take off the scarf, not even be Muslim anymore.
Debbie, what do you think?
Yeah, I think you've got a real point there. Makes me think of a talk Leonard Peikoff gave, the role of psychology and philosophy in history, and he talks about how, I mean, yeah, people's psychology motivates their behavior, but the dominant philosophical ideas will either empower or cow different types of people with different types of psychology, and he made an example of, I think, someone like Hitler maybe, or a dictator in the time of the Founding Fathers wouldn't have had a chance, wouldn't have ever seen the light of day, whereas like someone decent like the Founding Fathers wouldn't have, those ideas wouldn't have really taken hold in pre-Nazi Germany. And just the point being that the state of a culture makes a huge difference about what kinds of mentalities are cultivated and encouraged and empowered, and what ones are people maybe more inclined to evil to feel ashamed of themselves and to hide because they just sense that they're not going to be tolerated.
Right,
and
right.
I totally agree with that. I think that's kind of like what you're saying. And I think that if we had the kind of society you described, then we wouldn't even be dealing with stuff like this. There wouldn't be emboldened enough to commit these acts of genocide in the name of Islam because they wouldn't expect to get anywhere with it.
Right, and that is why it is so important. I mean, here we have today, we luckily have the internet because, as Jonathan pointed out, none of the major news media are doing the job in terms of putting the offensive content out there.
They're saying, Muslims,
we're going to do it. We won't be cowed.
We won't. And also, yeah. No, but they're saying Muslims will attack us if we do it, and they will be right. In a sense, they're playing into that.
Yeah.
Iran said something that you actually tweeted. To discuss evil in a manner implying neutrality is to sanction it. But we're not only doing that with Islam. We're talking up Islam as if it's the greatest thing on earth. Our leaders. And that's why Muslims look at Obama and look at Bush and all this, well, hey, Islam is great. They keep saying it. They keep defending Islam at every turn. So therefore, I'm going to wear my thing and just go out there and say, Islam is great. Don't worry about it. It's a sanction
right.
that they're getting from non-Muslims, as if non-Muslims sanction means anything to them.
Yeah.
But it does.
So we have our marching orders, Debbie. I mean, in addition to everything that we were talking about having a vision for the future, we have to redouble our efforts to keep speaking the truth about this threat, refusing to succumb to any sort of pressure or threats that this would create, and keep supporting those people who have a lot more media exposure when they say the right things. So here, you know, Gutfeld says the first sentence tells you everything you need to know about the New York Times. I go over and I click a big like there, and this somehow gets it more coverage on Facebook. So much the better. So, I mean, we have to try to, as much as we can, create the kind of society in which decent Muslims would be ashamed to shove the religion on people, to go and contribute to anything that might even feed into violent jihad.
Identify themselves as Muslim at all, even, because a lot of them will go stealth if not completely leave the religion. Again,
right.
We are telling them their religion is great. We're telling them your religion is great. It doesn't have to change. Don't worry about it.
Let's give Debbie the last word because we are almost out of time here. Go ahead, Debbie.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard you saying something about a cartoon that people were espousing to, like, as their Facebook profile picture.
Everybody just go over to Facebook and check out my Facebook profile picture and feel free to download it and adopt it as yours. I downloaded it and adopted it from somebody else. It's
by the way, check out my over dozen Muhammad cartoons also when you can. They're on my blog.
Definitely.
All right, we'll do. I'll pledge to put my profile picture as that cartoon.
Beautiful. Okay, thank you everyone for tuning in this evening. We are going to make it an early night, but please do check us out on Friday when we go back to a daytime show for the first time this year, and it's going to be our time for a long time. I'm going to be talking with John Allison.
That was too short.
I know it was.
Sorry.
John Allison at 10 a.m. Pacific time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern time. Actually, he's going to come on during the second hour. So he will be on at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. But do join us at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And be social. We'd love to see you here again at Blog Talk Radio. So
this
thanks, everyone.
Too short.
I am sorry about that, boss.
Too short.
We are Charlie
Thanks,
Hebdo.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Really appreciate it.
We are Charlie Hebdo.
We are Charlie Hebdo.
Have a good night.